Popcorn ready.
Okay. I'm going right to. Thanks, man.
I'll be there. I'm 5'10". 5'10", bald, goatee. I'll take pictures. We'll get some pictures. Intro. I was talking to James. Hey, listen, I'm going to D.C. I'm going Tuesday. Going to Baltimore. I'm going to meet my brother up there. He's got a hotel booked for 3 days. So we're just going to be sleeping in Baltimore in D.C. for 3 days.
They're always sun.
Yeah. It's gonna be intense. Okay, your music's getting close. You got about 35 seconds. I'll get your numbers.
This is Ralph Kermit Winterwood II, coming to you live out of Alaska. And Mark, are you there? Hello?
I don't have Mark yet. Hang on.
Oh, okay. We're going to have Mark's going to come on here in just a second. There will be two of us today. So, interesting times. This is history making. There's never going to be any time like this ever in history again. It's never going to happen. You just can't make this stuff up. I have never seen anything like this. It's like we're in a trial period in hell. Lies everywhere. And nobody has standing in the courts. All these cases that they have tried to get the courts to weigh in on, no standing. How does that work? No standing. Supreme Court, District Courts, Fifth Circuit, Texas down there, Gohmert tried it. No. This is really, really frustrating when you see this going on and you understand that somebody's got to have standing somewhere, unless we don't have a court system. And in reality, we don't. We do not have a constitutional court system. And I can prove that. None of the United States. Does Mark on yet?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me, Ralph?
Howdy. Well, we got Mark, and where are you be in the world?
Well, we're out in the East Hills of Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Hey, Mark, could you back off your mic a lot?
I'll try. Yeah. Hang on a second. I'm using an ear pod. Is that a little bit better?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all right.
Better. Yeah.
I can turn this down. Bear with me just a moment.
Yep.
All right. How's that? Does that sound a little better?
It does to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great.
Well, I heard was watching that Biden may be taking down his inaugural benches. I don't know if it's true or not. I saw that on Bill Still. So I don't know what Trump's up to. But I guarantee you, he's got something coming.
You know, Ralph, this morning I had a kind of a crazy thought about the court systems, refusing to hear these cases about the Electoral College and stuff. When you look at the way the Constitution was structured, they really haven't exhausted their administrative remedies for correcting a fraudulent voting case. So when you got these states that have these irregularities, fraud.
You're still kind of muffled or something there.
Okay. We'll try something else. I may have to mute out. Let me try a different headset, okay?
All righty.
All right, I'm going to mute out.
Okay. Well, the thing is, there's no administrative remedy to constitutional violations. This administrative remedy stuff came along when we have the administrative state. And we'll have a conversation on that when Bart gets back online again. You just can't make. I read the brief down in Texas that Representative Gohmert filed, and Pence has the ability to rule. He's the final say so under the 12th Amendment. If he'll use it, I don't think he will. I don't trust Pence. I don't know him. I just don't trust him. I haven't seen him in action. So I don't have a way to judge him, but I don't trust anybody today. Because imagine, can anybody with any critical thinking ability not come to a conclusive conclusion that all of these, what, six states, that there's fraud? I don't know how you can not arrive at that conclusion. And if you arrive at the conclusion that it's fraud, then you have a sworn duty by your oath of office, which technically all of them are bogus, but they all take them. Don't you have a sworn duty to protect and defend our Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Are these people domestic enemies if they are attempting by fraud to install a faux president of the United States? Come on now. He got 81,000 votes, 81 million votes, supposedly. Trump got 71 or 2 or something, and Obama only got 60-some when he got elected. Can you imagine just how popular Biden is? It's preposterous. Absolutely preposterous. Mathematically, can't do it. Okay, are you back there, Mark?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, you can turn the audio down a little bit, probably, but yeah.
I'm surprised it's coming through so loud.
Yeah.
All right.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, I was thinking on, you're talking about the administrative remedy. When I look at the way I brought it up, but the way the process is for taking care of voter fraud has been clearly laid out, and you know it goes to the Congress to object to these votes that are coming in from the electoral colleges because they're fraudulent. They've got irregularities. They weren't done proper. They violated the states, violated their own election laws. So, I mean, it seems like there is a path to challenge that, which goes right through Vice President Pence's office, which they had to basically publicly humiliate him to come to the table saying that he's going to back the, I believe there's 11 senators at this point who are going to object to the electoral college votes that are coming in. So,
right, but they want to go out to a commission where technically that's what was Gohmert was filing in Texas. They have filed a statutory law. They want to leave the final decision and take the power away from Pence. It's like the Speaker of the House. She's got tremendous power for when she throws the gavel and says, this is it. It's done deal. He has the authority. I read the briefing, and Jefferson exercised that when he was vice president. The Electoral College come up, and he took the ones he wanted. He has the final say, so he can either reject them and say this state doesn't meet the requirements and we're not going to count them, or he could count some alternate Electoral College votes if he wanted to. And that's what Texas was arguing about, because they want to keep it under the control of Congress. And basically, all Pence is he's opening he's a letter opener. He don't have any stroke to say, no, yay, no, no. That's a big deal. But I don't think Pence will do it.
Well,
I think Pence the balls to do it.
Well, the senators are pretty much have already lined up to object to the votes coming in from the electoral colleges from those states that were known to have the voter fraud.
But he has the ability to say we're not going to accept it, or we're not going to count your state. Pence has that authority under the 12th Amendment. But that's what they passed that statutory act that they were challenging down in Texas. Because they want to try to take that away so that he's just basically he doesn't really have that authority to say yay or nay, just on his own say-so with being a plenary power, absolute power. That's unappealable.
Interesting.
Yes, I read their brief down there, and they don't want to go there because they want to keep it over into Congress.
Right.
Where they can get around him and try to manipulate what states are of... Well, you know, if they count them or not, even though you object. Well, somebody's got to have the final say-so.
Right.
And it should be Pence.
Yes.
But yes. He won't do it. I'll bet you $100 bill he'll think he's got the cojones to do it. Have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, it seemed like they had a strong arm to even admit that he was backing the senators who were objecting. So that's...
Well, he is, but they want to form a commission. A 10-day commission to go out and look at the fraud. And then what happens? They come back and say we had fraud, but they still got to have enough votes on the House and the Senate, the way I understand it, to throw it into the House to have a state-by-state vote.
Right.
So it still doesn't do anything. Because these damn Democrats, it's irrelevant what the truth is to these people. Now, that's one of the things that I saw is that during the Cuban crisis, you've probably seen that, you know, that was so overwhelming that Russia had to back down. And that's one of the things, supposedly, is Trump is going to show overwhelming evidence that Mr. Biden and these people better back down, or there's going to be some people going to the pokey.
Right.
But I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, I've seen so many things that supposedly from people that should know have something, you know, that he was going to get around and do something like this, but I don't know. I just really don't know.
Well, I'm thinking it's like Laurel and Hardy. This is another fine mess the liberals have gotten us into. It's just
well,
crazy.
This was their goal. They wanted to make it. They wanted to obfuscate this thing. So screwed up, hoping that they could come out. They just the fraud was done a whole bunch of different ways. Done through software. It was done to keeping the Republicans out. It was done to bringing out extra ballots coming in. All sorts of things. Dead people voting. I mean, they just it's all over the place. And this is how you win, because how do you prove all of these things in a short period of time? And then when you do prove them, no court wants to look at the evidence. Not one court's looked at the evidence yet. You think there'd be one court somewhere that somebody would have standing on something this important, wouldn't you?
Well, you know, I don't get it. If you're a citizen of Texas and you file a complaint because you found voter irregularity, it seems like they would hear it. So I don't understand, you know, short of just turning a willful blind eye to the law, that was one of Dan Metter's favorite sayings, turning a willful blind eye to the law, meaning I know what the law is, but I'm going to ignore it anyway.
That's what they're doing.
And that seems what we have is we know the law. It's written. Everybody sees it, but we don't care. It's like ultimate gaslighting. It's like, we don't care. We're just going to do what we want to do. Now, at that point, I'm hearing rumors, again, this is total rumors, that the president has the authority to call up the militia, which are able-bodied men from, what, ages of 18 to 70 years old, and they could call up a militia to basically enforce the law. Now, how that plays out, I don't know, but it's pretty interesting that the, you know, if they're talking about doing the Insurrection Act and so forth and you know, pulling out that card, then, you know, you're basically having to say, if you, Congress, and the courts are going to turn that willful blind eye to the law, willful meaning you mean to, you know better, but you're just going to ignore the law, and the courts are helping you, then the only thing left you have is military law, and for the military to uphold and to enforce the Constitution.
Well, I think it may get to that. I don't know. The interesting part is Roger Stone, which knows Trump very well, said that when he left Mar-a-Lago, the New Year's celebration, which he is, that's his favorite time, to come back to D.C., he says, I don't know what he's up to, but he's up to something, because he said he would not miss it unless there was something that needed his attention.
Wow.
So, but he said, I'm not privy to what's going on. Now, whether he is or not privy, he's not going to say if he was anyway. See, this is the thing about Trump, is he throws out all these false flags all the time, and you see the Democrats, they run over here, and they run over here, and the media runs over here, and then something else, he does it, and ends up winning. So, just going to have to sit back and wait, I guess.
Ralph, when's our next big date? Is it January 6th? Is that when the Electoral College votes are supposed to be sent in?
The 6th.
Right, January 6th.
Yep, I'm going to be watching, I guarantee you.
Wow. And that's when the senators can object to those votes coming in from the Electoral College, and each
senators and representatives can object. And I got Murkowski up here. She's, oh my God, we got this is against their Democratic stuff. I have got we have the most corrupt Senator Murkowski up here. She cheated. She paid to get elected in Alaska. And they knew it, and nobody did anything. And the average person can't take them on, because you got to have a chunk of money to take these lying SOBs to court. And then you go to court.
Well, I know. I know. Yeah. Then you go to court. That's a whole other animal, right? I know that the Oklahoma Senator James Lankford objected to the Electoral College votes coming in. So one that has objected.
The thing is, with this commission, they come back, they still got to have a vote, and that's where it should be, down to the Senate or to the Pence. He says, oh, we're not going to do this. You broke the law. You broke the Constitution. which they did. I mean, there's right. no doubt these six states violated the constitutional law. We don't need administrative remedy. We don't need anything. It's a constitutional violation. And nobody's got standing to challenge it. Who in the hell? If Trump don't, the people that voted, representative don't, the people that are voting in the states don't, well, who would have standing? Somebody's got to have standing somewhere.
You would certainly think that.
Back in a minute.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable.
And, well, it's going to be an interesting next couple of days to see what transpires, because basically our republic either survives or it fails in the month of January. That's how critical it is. We either head to socialism, and beyond that, we're a communist, because these people are actually communists. They're not just socialists. They're communists and anarchists. They want total... That's what they've been doing, anarchy. So... I don't know these people. I can't imagine people voting for Biden. I mean, these people got to be about two levels below stupid. I don't get it.
Well, there's the indoctrination through the public school system, and now you got people that are in their 20s, 30s, and even 40s who think that the government is the solution for everything. You know, you've got parents now that were protected, and it's equal outcome no matter whether you were good or bad at a sport or at any kind of competition. You know, you all got the same prize as anybody else. And so now they're going through college and being indoctrinated that, you know, all these things are rights, but what they don't realize is like a universal income, like Medicare for all, and so on and so forth. Those come at a price, and they just think that, you know, and with the stimulus checks for COVID, and they see these companies getting billions of dollars, and now individuals getting $1,200 and $600, and Trump wanted to say $2,000. They just feel like it's just money's coming out of the thin air, which it is.
But, did you get your stimulus check, the latest one?
No, I didn't.
Huh?
The last stimulus was $600, right, per person?
Yeah. Did you get yours?
Not to my knowledge.
I couldn't
know.
Believe it. They put it into my Walmart debit card because the one before I liked it never got. It was months after everybody else had got them. And so I sent a, on the White House email thing, I sent a thing, email to Trump. And about three or four days later, all of a sudden it showed up because I'd called the senators, I'd called the representatives, and I just get a big round and around we go.
Interesting.
You know that. Thanks for calling, Ralph, and we'll get back to you.
Yeah. Well, this whole voting thing is it's the end of the republic. If you can't vote for a politician of your choice, then we're lost. We're gone. This ship has sank. If this goes by and goes it's being challenged, but if the powers to be just turn their head and let it go on by, and everybody knows Biden has stolen the office, then we're done. We're just pretty much toast at that point. I mean, how can you tell somebody that your vote counts? How can you say that?
Right.
They're going to vote. They're going to continue voting in people that they want in office. I mean, my goodness, when they got people on video taking ballots, running them through the machine, taking the same ballots and rerunning them through the machine over and over to get the count vote up for Biden. How can you dispute that? They got them on video doing it.
I know. There's another interesting saying. It says, when a man who is honestly mistaken is confronted with the truth, he will either cease to be mistaken or cease to be honest.
Yeah.
And these people have seen this. McConnell. Oh, we don't want to rock the boat. That's going to split the party. Split the frickin' party? You got to be kidding me. This is the end of the republic. Well, let's see. He happens to be married to a gal from China. Their family. They're Chaicoms. They're communists. They're very, very rich. And they
That's like Lindsey
to him.
That's like Lindsey Graham going back into the Senate and fist bumping Kamala Harris after they're, you know, talking bad about each other. It's like professional wrestling. You know, they go out there and pretend to be fighting each other, and then they go in the same locker room and slap each other on the back and go have a drink and steak dinner afterwards.
Right. Lindsey Graham is another deep state rhino.
Absolutely.
Because he asked those questions. If you knew now what you know, if you knew then what you know now, would have you followed that 301? Wait a minute. That's not the type of question you ask if somebody's committed fraud. The All question right. is, did you read this thing over, yes or no? When did you find out it was fraudulent? What did you do about it when you was fraudulent? I mean, these are specific questions. And he asked that. And, oh, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. Oh, boy, I tell you, we're going to get this done. He could have been having hearings the whole time and had Trump's backside, the same thing as they were doing in the House of Representatives. But he didn't do it.
And what about these states where this fraud has happened in? I mean, the voting fraud, it seems like the state would take action against these people that are defrauding the voters. It looks like the state attorney general would step in and start bringing charges against these people. I mean, they got them on camera. They got witnesses. Seems like they just start rounding them up. I mean, it's a huge crime.
Because they're bought and paid for. Everybody's got their hand in the till doing something, most of them.
No.
And then the other thing is, I think I saw a thing, and it may be true. I don't know what this Epstein. I don't believe he's dead. I don't have any facts. But here we got a guy that committed suicide that's almost totally impossible, unbelievably. No video, guards are sleeping, and we have got pedophiles in the government. Unbelievable. They're everywhere.
Well, that's to control, you know, it's pretty interesting. When you look at some of the HBO movies and some of the TV series, Netflix series and so forth, like Scandal, like House of Cards, Designated Survivor, you start seeing that it seems like, I don't know if art is imitating life or life is imitating art, but you just start seeing how diabolical these people are, and you don't get in office unless you can be controlled. They're gonna find your weakness, whether it be drugs, sex, money, power, little children, whatever your vice is. They're gonna use that, exploit it, so that they can control you. And very few of these people that are in office don't have some type of control file on them. And that's kind of reminds me of, what was the guy from North Carolina that he was a prosecutor, he was a congressman, and he sounded really tough. I mean, he would ask all the right questions up to a certain point, but none of these people going before these congressional hearings were ever prosecuted for anything.
Well, that's like Trey Gowdy. He's probably the best guy for asking questions there is, but he refused to issue subpoenas.
Well, that's who I'm talking about, Trey Gowdy. He sounded tough. He was big and bad. He put people on the spot, but he would never go that extra step and really ask the right questions. You know,
he knew how to corner, but without the subpoenas, why wouldn't you? And there was a guy in Florida, a representative, said that was the problem we had. He wouldn't let us issue subpoenas.
Right. Yeah.
I think you may be right. It's all a show. It's like wrestling. When I finally figured out wrestling, it's all a show. It's all predetermined.
Yeah.
That made me wonder now about, and I really used to like football, but I just have no interest in it anymore since what they're doing, but it makes me wonder now of all the corruption going on that the football isn't rigged too, like everything else is rigged.
I had an acquaintance who said the NFL was mysterious and that he believed, because it's a private association, he believed that it was nothing more than a avenue for betting for the mafia. That's what he felt.
I wouldn't doubt that at all anymore, knowing what I know and seeing how corrupt it is. I mean, the things that we think we know that are so aren't.
I know. It's just when you think you've seen it all, just wait. It's mind-blowing.
I've been going to get around and put out the one line, the Mooney case, the en banc. I don't know if you know that or not. They ruled against us up there in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals.
No, I did not know.
Yeah, they finally did. It took them over a month because they were so cornered. They didn't know what to do. So what did they do? Denied. That's it. We're not going to listen to it. What are some of the issues that we had? Their rule says who is the real party of interest? Well, if it starts off in tax court as the commissioner, then it goes over to the United States District Court, not a District Court of the United States, and it says United States of America plaintiff. Now, wouldn't you think that is the real party of interest? If they file the complaint and they call them the plaintiff, is that not the real party of interest?
You would think so, yes.
Then we go, he went to the Court of Claims. which used to be a bona fide Article III court from 1953 to 1982. Then it went back to a legislative court. And they say we only take the party's got to be United States. It goes up there, and we put in United States of America, also known as United States. So they said United States of America, USA. Okay. Then we get to the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. All of a sudden, it's strictly United States. And also in the lower courts, when they were going out and putting it on Pacer or in Westlaw, it's United States. So the first question that I had in this brief is, if it started off United States of America, United States District Court, how does it change to be the United States in the Court of Claims and the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals? That's your rule, not mine. I said, I don't know who the real party of interest is. No response. And I even got one that's so blatant. I had a case down in Mississippi. And this party was on a criminal charge. And instead of appealing to the, the Eighth Circuit, the one that was down there anyway, we put in to go to the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. And they got all mixed up. But anyway, we finally got it in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, and the attorney shows up as the counsel for United States. They kicked it back down to the Eighth Circuit, and this same person, same case, same attorney, now is counsel for United States of America. That's pretty blatant.
That is,
I got a document. I mean, everything is the same. There's nothing changed except the court. You just can't make that stuff up. Then I went into Pacer and I was looking, because when they did this in 1982, the court system, the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, is supposed to be a, quote, national court. Because we want to have, when we make a decision here, it's good everywhere, all across the United States. Now, that used to be what the circuit courts of the United States were before 1911. If they made a decision, it's only good in this little area. It was good all across the United States. Well, they said that in the 1982. They codified it in 1293. It lasted 2 years, and they just deleted it. Went away. And you go into Pacer, it's not listed as a national court. The only national courts are Supreme Court of the United States, the Court of Claims, and the Court of International Trade. It's not listed there. It's like the other courts. It's not a constitutional court. It says so. They don't say what it is. They do say what the Court of Claims is now. It's an Article 1, Section 8, Clause 9. It's a legislative court.
Wow.
And then, to make this even crazier, when we filed in the, I'm going to talk about the stuff here today about all these criminal cases. I don't know why people don't wise up. I put this stuff out there, but I don't know. Anyway, we found two cases about the United States District Courts. It took me a while to find them in Westlaw. And I found these two cases. And we put them in the brief in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. And you know what? Their little panel, the three-judge panel, two Obama judges and one Bush judge said, well, you should have brought them cases up earlier. We can't talk about them now. Literally. Have you ever heard of such a thing? You file in a brief and you put in cases in support of your position, and I say, oh, we're not going to use those because you should have brought them up sooner.
Well, only in you can't raise an argument on appeal that you didn't raise in a lower court, but...
We had the argument.
Yeah, that's different than raising case law, because usually when you're like in a lower court, you only cite case law up to a certain level, right? But if you go to a higher court, then you may pull in case law that supports your arguments that you've already been arguing all along the way, but you're free to bring in case law from the U.S. Supreme Court or any other court that has precedent.
Right. You would sure think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, because this was too damning. I'm going to pull these cases up because this is too damning, and I'm going to go into these people that are doing these criminal indictments on the IRS, and I don't know, man. It's slick what they're doing, but people don't want to listen, and I don't know why. It's like the truth of this fraudulent election. It tells you right here the character of the people that's in Congress.
Yeah.
It should be Democrats and Republicans. We know it's not the Democrats because that's the party of Satan. These people are minions of Satan. They love killing babies. They don't care what it is. I mean, they just are.
I like to clarify that, Ralph. It's not the Democrats. It's the Democrat National Committee and their politicians. Their people. I mean, when we say Democrats, that also means. Americans who are registered Democrat that think that they're voting for the working party, you know, that used to be the blue collar party was the Democrats. We're not talking about the voters, the Democrat registered Democratic voters. We're talking about the Democrat political machine, the Democrat National Committee and their politicians that they keep running and putting in power. And they do whatever they want. Like they took the vote from the primaries from Bernie Sanders. He started right out of the gate winning, and they didn't want Bernie in there. They wanted Biden in there. That they felt that was their safe bet to continue their criminal operations.
Well, there's a lot of these quote Democrats. They got to know they protest about this. Voters. I mean, they put these people in. Do they not listen that they want abortion? Because that's one of the big things that they're the Democratic Party, the voters want is they want abortion. It's a right. No, it's not a right. But they listen to them talk, and it is when you the interviews. I mean, a lot of the people, of course, vote. They just vote straight party. They're ignorant. They don't bother to look. My dad voted. My parents voted. I'm going to vote Democrat. Period. End of story. I hate Trump. Then why do you hate Trump? I don't know. Why should I? Are they telling me I hate Trump? Really?
Yep.
Why? They have no answer.
Yeah. I understand. There's a lot of those people who have started coming around. I mean, they're being reached. I mean, you look at the numbers of the Democrats that voted for Trump. They're way up there. Same thing for minorities and the minority votes. I mean, Trump literally won in a landslide. You know, Trump, now this is just according to the current figures, Biden only won 17% of the counties. In the entire United States, he only won 17% of the counties. What does that tell you?
Right.
So,
I saw stats on that, on the counties and all that, and it's an impossibility. There's no way he could have become president of the United States.
I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, then you know that this was a stolen vote. It's a stolen election. Yeah.
Absolutely. There isn't any getting around it, is there?
No, there really isn't. I mean, and just it keeps coming out more and more, you know. Where before it was just kind of allegations, and next thing you know, the evidence just starts pouring out, and there's just no way to get around that electoral fraud took place to get Biden in office.
Right. Right. I mean, me pull up these two cases because these are important cases. These are the two cases here that are a killer. Let's say again.
Well.
Oh, I didn't see that. Let me go back and look at her. Okay. I thought I did, but I was looking on the chat and I didn't see it. I don't know why. Okay, go ahead, whoever the caller is. I can't see who it is.
Is it me? You there?
Okay.
Ralph?
Yeah, Ralph? Go ahead. I don't see in the chat message here on Skype. I'm not sure why. Go ahead.
I've been here quite a while. This is Joe from Oklahoma. Going back to the early part of the conversation you and Mark are having, I want to make a comment about Dan Metter. If Dan Metter were still alive, Oklahoma politics would be a darn sight different than what they are right now. The other thing I'd like to add is regarding Senator Langford from Oklahoma. I called his office back just before Christmas, and you know, everybody says you always want to be nice and talk softly and everything, and I'm sorry, but I wasn't very nice to his aide, which couldn't hardly speak English. But anyway, I did tell him that I would do, if he didn't get on board with challenging the Electoral College from the Senate side, that I would do everything within my power to see that he was defeated in the primary, that he got primaried out. Well, I made that as a phone call. I later sent that out to about 20 people in an email and asked them to please contact his office and tell Langford that he will get primaried out if he doesn't get on board with it, challenging these the Electoral College vote. And you know what? About 4 days later, he gets on board with it. So
wow.
These phone calls make a difference if people will just take the time to do it.
Right. I do agree. You know, I of course, I've got one at Permakowski. I can't. I have trouble. I do keep my language civil, but boy, it's really a challenge because this Will Murkowski, well, she's like a Schumer.
My congressman, Frank Lucas, didn't even have anybody to answer the phone. So how about that?
Wow.
But he's big on welfare for farmers, so he gets the farmer's vote. So with that said, I appreciate everything you do, and I listen to you every chance I get, and God bless you both.
Great. Well, thanks. That's not over. It's never over. It's only over when you surrender.
Yeah.
And you never surrender, not if you have the truth.
That's thank you, Joe. Yeah, and I want to say just thank you, Joe, for reaching out to 20 of your friends and family and asking them to make that phone call, too. You know, if each one of them did the same thing, then you'd have a massive wave of phone calls demanding things from your legislators. So thank you, Joe, for doing that and sharing that with people. So, I mean, we're not completely helpless.
We're not.
You know?
No, we need to call these people. Let them know. Thing is, these people, what they do is they're just great con people. They talk a hell of a good story. And then it's hard to keep track of what they're doing in Congress.
Right.
On their votes and stuff, because they'll vote, one of them will vote one way on one thing and the other one he'll vote. So, well, he was good over here, but no, he's not good over here. So it makes it hard to flush him out for what they really are.
Right, right.
And most of them, unfortunately, I think, are bought and paid for.
Well, you can follow their wealth and find out. I mean, you know, you don't make, was it 170 or 200 something thousand a year as a congressman, and then in a few years you're worth multi-millions of dollars.
Right, just like Biden.
And so like Senator Langford from Oklahoma, I believe he was like a director of a church youth camp in Oklahoma, and somehow he got politically connected and ran for office, his timing was spot on, and you know, he got elected. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. And it's hard. You have to look for independent companies or think tanks or whatever that have an interest and that will show you the voting history of the politicians, so you have a better idea of what they're actually supporting and not supporting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Maybe there's a place to see that, but there ought to be a place where a guy could go to a bill and all the stuff would be everybody that votes on it, yay or nay, and real simple. But I don't know. Maybe there is out there, and I just don't know where it is yet. Back
right,
in the
back. Right. Okay.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Okay, well, we're back here. And, I tell you, it's, just a second here. I'm going to put in what song to play at the top of the hour. We're in trouble, Mark, because if you can't go to a court, where do you go?
You have nowhere else to go. That was the purpose of the court, was so that people didn't settle their differences, one-on-one. You didn't have violence where people would be beating up each other or killing each other to settle their differences. They supposedly could go to a court and get justice and blind justice, justice that didn't tip the scales to somebody who had more land or more money, but it was supposed to be blind justice. That's why you see the symbol of justice is the blindfolded woman holding the scales. And but now that seems to have long gone through political powers, and I think that's why you see a lot of people now that they're not willing to call the police. A crime will happen, and they'll just like, well, I'll take care of it myself.
There are two cases that come out. I watch a lot of those type of forensic files and all those type of things, and right. They don't trust the police. But I'll tell you what, the police are way more honest than the courts. There was about 800,000 police instances per year by the police. 800,000. And so there's single digits. It's like, I don't know, 10 or 12 or something. Blacks are killed by cops, and there's the more whites. It's a little higher by whites. That's out of 800,000, and those technically aren't maybe one or two or three make the news. It's a big deal. But the thing is, they're a lie.
Right.
That's the thing. Against me. Like this Ferguson Brown, hands up, don't shoot. That was a lie. A total lie. That guy got around and argued with the cop, got his hand shot, tried to take his gun away, ran away. 300-pound big thug turns around and comes back at the cop. He's charging him. Now, what's the cop supposed to do? I'll call social media. No, let's see. I guess that's out. Maybe I'll arm wrestle him. No, right. I think that's probably out, too. What do you do? He shot him. What are you supposed to do? And he killed him. And the autopsy proved it. But we don't do that. And then they get around, and they get a white horse-drawn carriage like he's a saint. And they did the same thing for George Floyd. He was already dying before he even got out of the damn car. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. If they look at the video, I can't breathe. He died because he had three times the fentanyl toxic level to die. Three times the level that's toxic to die. He was already dying. Well, we won't talk about that. And that hole, when they did the autopsy, there was nothing wrong. They didn't do it. There was no damage to his neck at all.
That's like Hillary said, don't let a good crisis go to waste. That's what Hillary said. And then they see this as a means of dividing and conquering and gun control.
And then what's that other gal up there got shot when they went in and they shot through the door? The guy shot through the door. What the hell is her name? I can't think of it right now.
I've forgotten her name.
Yeah, Beyonce Taylor, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she got a multi-million dollar settlement. Back in the day.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.